I'm glad to see the sun shining. I'm glad to see the doors open, and I'm glad to see all of you. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist. Good to see our fellow parishioners, and especially those of you who are visiting. I'm not going to ask for your participation. It's mandatory, all right? The Bible says make a joyful noise, all right? So grab you one of these here great books, and we're going to sing, okay? And we're going to sing like we mean it, okay? I've got heaven and home on my mind, and that's the theme. So let's be glad for that. And so let's start with number 215, Miss Janice, if you would. 215. Good. All right. Let's turn back a few pages to number 164. And here's the invitation. It won't be long. Sing loud.
Thank you. you, Brother Sam. Appreciate the good singing this morning. Appreciate everybody taking part in the singing this morning. And I did like his comment that it is mandatory. Somebody would probably say, well, it
shouldn't be mandatory if you heard me sing. But I'm going to tell you, the best thing that we can do is lift up our voice unto the Lord. We may not be the best singer, but it is good for us to lift up our voice for God. And I just appreciate each and every one that tries to sing and take part in our singing. It takes everybody to make the singing good, is what it does. So I pray that we'll all just continue to lift up the name of the Lord this morning. Had a good Sunday school class, had a good time before Sunday school. We always have a time for our prayer request and for our praise reports. And the praise reports got to be real good, I thought, this morning. And I just appreciated those words and this morning of praise for our Lord, thanking God for salvation, and just everything was a blessing to me this morning in our first part of our Sunday school. I want to invite you to come out for Sunday school. If you do not usually come out for Sunday school, make an effort to come out. We've got some good teachers. You may not be in this class in here. You may be in one of the ones back there in the back. But I appreciate you coming out for Sunday school. It's important. It is. It's important that you learn everything you can about Jesus. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. It's important that you learn everything you can about Jesus. And you're probably thinking, well, I'm saved. What else do I need to know? There's a lot about Jesus. And he's worth knowing about. And I want to encourage you to try to learn as much as you can about him, because the more you learn about him, the more special he is. Amen. You know what I mean? I used this not too long ago, and I don't remember if it was here or where, but I said, you have neighbors, and you may have met them one time. How much do you know about them? Maybe you've met them two or three times. But if you really want to know that neighbor, you get into their house. And you start to talk and you start to listen to them and you start just to be around them. My goodness, you'll find out there's some good people out there. And you'll get to love your neighbors. That's the same thing with Jesus. If you come into his house and get to know him, you'll enjoy what you find out about Jesus, is what you'll do. Well, that's enough of me rambling on this morning. Brother Sam's going to do children's church again this morning. I want to invite all the kids to come up. And what I'll say is, not only just the small ones, I'd like to see some of our bigger kids come up. You know, we could always have some of our older members, like Brother Slick, come up here even. But we want all of our kids. He's going to be over here. So everybody come up and give Brother Sam your attention this morning.
All right.
All right. Very good. Then we're going to have to recruit you some male help. They got us outnumbered. Wow, what a good looking group. Y'all are like dressed for Easter, right? When is Easter? May the 31st. It's spring. Both good answers. I like how they talk up there. That's good. Teach them well. All right. I know you're busy. I've checked your schedule. Okay. Who likes to be lied to? Nobody. That's the best thing that we have going on with relationships with anybody, right? Is to be what? To be truthful. Is that right, Hope? Okay. I know your name, that's why I say it. That we have to be truthful.
We have to tell the truth. It's no good when, you know, people lie, right? Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever told a lie? No. That's a lie. I'm just kidding. I'm sure that you tell the truth all the time. You're the most truthful person that I know. And nobody likes to lie. We don't like to lie. It probably makes us feel bad when we tell a lie or if we're lied to. Not that we do that all the time. Who can tell me in the Bible where it talks about lying? There's these 10 things over there in Exodus. Remember the 10 commandments. Which one is it? What number is it? Number 9. You get the gold star right here. Can you name the rest of them? Let's do it. You'll have no gods before me. No graven image. Fingers?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, maybe you should get down here and teach with me, so I can for continuity. Okay. Okay. So what's the second? No idols. Yeah. Third. Don't take the Lord's name. Four. Sabbath day. Right. Five. To honor your cousins and in-laws. Your father and mother. Right. Now here's where it gets between us. Okay. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal, you know. Then it says don't lie. Don't bear false witness. And the last one is what? Don't covet, right? So it's number 9. So early on in God's relationship with man, he says don't lie. And I command thee now, don't lie. Tell the truth. It's so much easier. Your life is going to be so much easier. Tell the truth all the time. Truth may not always be satisfying, but tell the truth. Say again. Okay. All right. So stand up and let's say that in Exodus. It's the 9th commandment. Say it loud. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And that's no lie. Okay. Y'all may go. I don't know what to do with
that. Sometimes you just hang on for dear life.
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what they mean.
I agree. I love it. And back in my early days, and some of the older ones will remember this, it was a TV show. They're called the Art Linkletter Show, and he had a children's time, and out of that came that saying, you never know what you're going to get from a child, and because he got some good responses on different things, and I see a replay of that every once in a while, and some children can really come up with some good answers, and biblically answers too, and I'm thankful for our children. I'm thankful for Brother Sam doing our children's church. We've got some that have talked about maybe helping Brother Sam with children's church, and we're looking forward to them also helping out with that, and we just appreciate each and every one today. I do want to give two quick announcements. Today is our business meeting. We want to be prayerful for it. Something new that has come up in 2 weeks on March the 23rd, there will be a singing here at the church at 6 p.m., and it'll be Brian Free and Assurance, which is a very popular group, but they called this past week and asked could they come to our church, and they will be here on March the 23rd. So I wanted to get that announcement out there for you. Come and enjoy them. Paula says a lot of the young people will probably like them. They're not necessarily young themselves, but they have an upbeat style of singing. So a lot of our young people would like to come and listen to them. Give them a chance is what I would say to you. Give them a chance, and you might enjoy something that is of the Lord today. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning?
help. Lord, help. Lord, bless him. Lord, help. Brother Trey's got a lot for us to pray for, hasn't he? So we need to help him out. Two grandfathers, co-workers, two kids. I'm going to forget his dad. That's a lot to pray for, and we need to help him out. Go ahead, Ms. Cheryl. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Bless your heart. Appreciate that word of praise today. Somebody else got a word on your heart. Maybe you've got a word of praise. Maybe you've got a prayer request, but you follow the Lord. Somebody else? I'm going to run over right quickly the ones I want you to pray for. Sister Theta did go home this week, but as it's been stated in our Sunday school, she's getting her house in order. It's basically time may be short. Continue to remember Sister Shirley Dillard. She's still not well all the time. She has spells. Good days, bad days is the way Brother Key puts it. Remember Brother Sonny and Sister Linda. Sister Linda's fixing to have more surgery again. So let's remember her. We do need to remember Brother Dwight. Of course, Miss Barbara passed away this past week, and or week before last now, but they laid her to rest this week. And do remember Brother Dwight as he is dealing with this. I went by and seen Sister Charlsie. Please pray for her. She needs your prayers. She's still falling a lot. Brother Blaine Wilburn still needs your prayers, but he did get out of the nursing home, out of the rehab facility. He is back home. Do continue to remember him in your prayers. Is there somebody I am forgetting about that we need to add to our prayer time?
I got a message from Sister Joan this morning saying
yes.
She couldn't be here because she was having to take care of her mother today, and
yes.
She requested prayers. I don't know what that means, but we need to pray for them.
Thank you for reminding me of that. You told me that, and I'd forgotten it. Do remember Sister Joan's mother. Somebody else. It's always good to see each and every one of you here today. I want you to lift up your voice to the Lord in prayer. Now, you might say, well, I don't pray out loud. That's okay. You need to lift up your inward voice. Now, if the Lord puts it in you to pray out loud, that's good. You're instructing these younger ones as to how to pray. Always remember that. Everything you do in this church house, you're instructing not only your children, but you may be on this side of the house and these kids over here are paying attention to you. So please instruct them as you pray. And so as we go to the Lord in prayer at this time, we ask everyone to pray in your own way. We'll call on Brother Stewart, if he would, to lead us in prayer at this time.
Thank you. While we continue to sing, let's turn to number 138. 138. Ladies, we'll need your input on the kickoff of the chorus. Will you be there?
Thank you.
Let's do our last number here, number 225, one of my favorites, 225. Thank you.
Thank you.
82? Number 82 has been requested.
Mm-hmm.
Children, you've got to be worried about yourself.
That's right.
We can be worried about you all day, all week, but you have to be worried about yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
Just don't get in our heads, don't get saved in revival. We're not promised that.
That's right.
But I just want to thank you for loving my soul.
Mm-hmm.
I had a burden this week, and I told God, I said, okay, God, I'm going to give it to you. You know, we want to pick them up and take them back.
Yeah.
I battled all week. God, I'm going to lift you. You'll take care of this situation. I know you will.
Yeah. Appreciate this. She's right. The burden has to be laid upon that sinner. And we can pray with our burden, but ultimately it's got to come from them.
We sang about heaven tonight. There's one way to get into heaven.
And that's through Jesus Christ. And today I want to preach a little bit about Jesus. And it's coming from the third chapter of the book of John. Probably one of our most quoted chapters in the Bible is the third chapter of John, especially as far as salvation is concerned. But I want to read you two verses that I quote from time to time, but basically today we're going to talk about this in our message today. And the 14th and 15th verses is where we're going to read. And it said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, this was a phrase that Nicodemus heard from our Lord. It was something that was common in their study in the Jewish belief about this serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. Now, later on, this serpent, this brazen serpent as it was made out of brass. One of the kings of Israel, or of Judah, I should say, actually destroyed it and called it just a piece of brass, and that's really what it was. But the people got to a point where that they felt like that it was something great, that it was something good. However, it was nothing. I'm going to read you what happened and what Jesus was referring to. And that comes from Numbers, the 21st chapter. And it says, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought up us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, the manna that God was giving them. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. In other words, they came up on some poisonous snakes, is what they came up on. And therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said, Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it up on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, going back to John, the third chapter, in our reading lesson today, it talked about how that Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. I don't believe that this was meant to be a picture of Christ as far as it being a model of Christ. I do believe that it was shown to the people of Israel that if they trusted in God, that they could have a healing. They could have a healing of their bodies. They had been bitten by that poisonous snake. Around here we have rattlesnakes and copperheads. Few places have cotton mouths. And if you're bitten by them, you can die from that venom. The people of Israel had complained against God, and they came upon these serpents. I don't know what kind they were, but they were a serpent that was highly poisonous, and they did not have the medication for them to be healed or to suffer their lives to be extended because of this medical condition. So they were dying a physical death. And in that moment in time when that the children of Israel was in this place and this time, they realized why God had sent them these serpents, why this death had come upon them at this moment in time. And God, when they prayed Moses, pray to God for us that we might take, that he might take away the serpents from us. Now, I think every one of us at one time or another wonders why in the world God just didn't take sin back out of the world. Why didn't he take it out? Well, it was a punishment for the people. It was a punishment for mankind because they had sinned against God. And mankind had that sinful nature inside of them. That sinful nature was in the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And because they had that sinful nature in them, from time to time, they turned on God. I don't believe that every person that came out of Egypt was a spiritually saved individual. I don't. I believe that they were people just like you and I, just like the town of Murfreesboro. There's people in Murfreesboro that profess to be godly people. They profess to be saved individuals, but like the children of Israel, they probably would complain against God. Back up. Do any of us ever complain against God from time to time? Yes, we are guilty of that. Think about some of the songs that we sung this morning. Brother Sam said the first four were about heaven. Actually, I think the fifth and sixth one that were requested talked about heaven and about Jesus being our way to heaven. But then we sang, "Thank You, Lord." And how many of us, while we were singing, did we thank the Lord for the blessings that he has given to us? We are like the children of Israel in that day. We complain from time to time. And because of that, we have troubles and trials in our life. But now we see that God did not take the serpents away, but he gave them a remedy. Now let's get into the message today. Jesus told Nicodemus, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is our reading lesson today. And that is the thought that I want to bring to your mind today. They understood what it meant to be lifted up. Even Nicodemus did. He didn't put a comment back to that. But we're going to get into something here in just a minute today. Because I want you to think about what Jesus did for you today. He gave you a promise of an eternal home. He's given you a promise of eternal life to all that believe and trust in the Lord. But he has also given you a something else. He has given you the blessing today of knowing Jesus. He has given you the blessing of knowing God today and his heart today. In this very thought today, I want to bring to your attention today some verses in your mind that you might understand what that he meant by being lifted up. There is a verse in John's writings, and let me just turn there right quickly and give you that verse. But what it says in the 12th chapter of the book of John, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I'm going to come to that in just a minute, but I want you to get this verse first. I want you to get John 8 and 28 today. John 8 and 28 said, and then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Now this is the very same phrase that Jesus used to Nicodemus. As the serpent was lifted up, he says, now when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. Now the Son of Man was a reference to himself. It was a reference that Jesus used to all the people at different times throughout the scripture. He called him the Son of Man. It meant that he was human, that he was a man like they were, but he was God. He was not telling them he was God. He was telling them, I'm a man just like you are. And this human being is going to be lifted up. He is going to die for your sin. God was telling us when he was speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus was, he was telling them, he said, as the serpent was lifted up. He meant that they had to look. It is important for our sinners today, for all of those that are lost today and away from God, it is important for you today to look to Jesus, to look to the cross, to look to the one that hung upon that cross today. When we look to him for our salvation, you can find it. When Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, all those that looked upon that serpent lived, is what the scripture said. I believe there was a stipulation there. When they heard what Moses had said, that God had said, if you'll look upon that serpent, you can be healed. You will live, no matter if that poisonous snake had bitten you, you will live. Why do I believe that? Because Jesus put the stipulation on what Moses said here about himself. Even as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, he that believeth on me. Listen again to what he said in the 28th verse. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know. Ye shall know is what he said. There's no thinking about it. There's no maybes about it. You will know that the Son of Man is before you. You'll know that Jesus is there. And he said, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. You see, it's important today for us to realize who Jesus is. He is the way out of this life. He is the way out of this sin. He is the remedy for that sin. He is the remedy that we can have, that we can have eternal life. Yes, eternal life with him. I want you to look with us again, going back over into the 12th chapter of the book of John. I read this to you just a minute ago. And he said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now, a lot of times we as preachers will quote this scripture a little bit wrong and we'll interpret it a little bit wrong. We'll say, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." But it says from the earth. It does. It says from the earth. Jesus was signifying how that he should die. You'll find that in the very next verse when he said, signifying what death he should be. Listen to what the people asked him at that time. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" They understood he was talking about he was going to die. They understood that he knew that the Son of Man, the Son of God, was going to give his life for them. But I want you to listen to the very next verse. "Then Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you." The light is the Son of God. He is that Son of Man that Jesus called himself. He is that light today. I want you to think about it today, friends. I want you, if you're lost and away from God, I want you to think about that light is before you right now. You might not be able to be over in Jerusalem and at the place where that the cross stood. There's some of you here today that have made that journey and you've been to that place where they say that Golgotha's hill was, and you've been able to see that place. I haven't been there, not with my body, but in my heart I went. With my heart I went and I looked upon the light that was there. Jesus said, "Yet a little while is the light with you." I want you to understand, as Sister Paula said today in her testimony, you need to consider that you're not promised tomorrow. Hey, that goes for us that are saved too. Brother Stewart brought that out in our Sunday school class, that no matter what age we are, we need to put every effort into the fact of showing people Jesus. Because Jesus told us, "Ye are the light of the world." Now he's saying, "I'm the light." And yes, he is the light, but we are a reflection of that light. But what Jesus said, "Yet a little while, and the light is with you. Walk while ye have the light." What did he mean by that? He wants us, he wants the sinners to come to that light. He wants them to come to him. While you've got the illumination, that's what the word light means. It means to illuminate. It means to brighten, to make evident, to make it where that you see it. How many of you, and I'm talking especially for the lost at this moment in time, those that do not know for sure that you are saved, how many times have you walked into some place and the lights went completely out and you did not know what was there? Have you ever done that? Maybe you was in Walmart or somewhere like that and the lights went out. Maybe you was in school, in the classroom. Yeah, you were somewhat familiar with what was right there at that moment in time. But think about, at that moment in time, did you know if somebody moved out of their seat? You might have heard. You might have thought somebody was trying to do something in there that didn't need to be in the dark. And that's when evil things do happen, is in the dark. But Jesus is a light unto the world, unto you today. And he is trying to light the way for you if you'll look to the light. Is the light appearing to you today? Is Jesus in your heart and in your mind? Is he dealing with you right now? That's what he's talking about. While you have the light, go to him. Go to him right now is what he's telling you to do. While you have that light, he gave you a remedy for your sin, in that he was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He lifted you up is what he did. He lifted himself up that you might see him. That you might see him, well, maybe not with these eyes, but if you look with the eye of faith. There's times I sing a song about being blind. And in that blindness that I am, I didn't see Jesus in that moment in time. But with the eye of faith, I did. What is an eye of faith? That's an eye that you don't know what's right there, and you don't know what's right here, and you don't know what's right here. But you know that Jesus is. Even though you can't see him, you just know that he's there. And you reach out for help. You reach out right now is what he's telling you. He's wanting you to reach out to him. You see, this message is to be a light to you. See, I'm trying to show you Jesus was lifted up for you. I'm trying to show you that Jesus wants you to have eternal life. That he wants you to have that home in heaven that we're talking about today. He's wanting you to see that the grace of God is there for you. That's what he is talking about in that very scripture there. He gave a remedy to where that you could have eternal life. Yeah, you. I want you to understand that. Yes, you could have eternal life today. Brother Sam, that's going to be our message today. I want to give a special invitation today. The altars are always open here. I don't mention that every time because I'm afraid sometimes, especially people get to thinking, well, the altar's always open. I just take it for granted that it's open, but we don't have to do anything about it. Today is a special time for you. If the Lord has showed you today in this message about him being on that cross and he is your remedy today for yourself that you might be saved, that he can take all the trouble and the sorrow and the pain of your sin. He is wanting to take all of that away. That's what the altar's for. We don't sing it here, but there's a song that said, that's what the altar is for. It's a place to pray. I'm not talking about just these benches up here. They're a convenient place for you to come and pray. They're a convenient place for your family members to come and pray with you. It's a convenient place for me to pray for you. But where you sit can be your altar. Wherever you're at is your altar, and it's your place to pray. Are you seeing that light? Are you seeing Jesus out there in such a way that you need him right now enough to go toward him? Walk while you have the light in front of you. Because there comes a day when darkness may come upon you. And yes, it can come upon you. While we stand and sing, your altar is open today. Tell somebody, I need to be saved. Pray for me. Come up to this altar if you need to. Come somewhere to Jesus is what I'm asking you to do. While we sing.
209. 209.